When you come together for worship, this is a step that you take to separate yourselves from the world and to purposely gather together as God's people. In the Old Testament, the worship of God was a particular focus of sanctification. That is, the separateness of the people from the world. And so it is for us today, for you and me. We publicly separate ourselves from the world as a testimony that we belong to God and are not of the world, although we remain in the world for a period of time. And when you come together for such worship, you come together to sing the praises of the Lord. You come to pray to the Lord. You come to listen to the reading of the Word of the Lord. And you come to listen to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. You see, this is a matter of our being set apart to the Lord for His purposes. And generally, the way we think about this, and I'm sure this is the case in your life as it has been in my life, generally the way you no doubt think about this is that this sanctification comes about specifically as you hear the preaching of the Word of God and read the Word of God. And that's good. And I'm glad that you think of it in these terms. But our text in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 equates with that preaching the singing of the Word of God as a means whereby God sanctifies you, His people. And it's very interesting, I think, the way Paul puts this. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The teaching and admonishing and the singing are means by which God is pleased to cause the word of Christ to richly dwell within you. You see, it's a means of sanctification. And I submit to you then that you ought to come to church, that you ought to come into this assembly of God's people, not only to hear and to listen to what's going on, but to participate and to sing with all of your heart joyfully before the Lord, because Jesus Christ is using your singing just as He is using your listening to the Word of God. He's using your singing as a means of your sanctification, of letting the Word of Christ dwell richly within you. And so that's the thing I want you to get this morning as we are together, that this singing is just as important as the listening to the Word of God in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, as you look at verse 16, you might say to yourself, does this have to do with corporate worship? And of course, a fellow like me would respond, well, obviously it does. And some would say, well, not so obvious. Well, let me try to give you a couple of hints here. Notice, first of all, that as you read Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. The Apostle Paul has you, the congregation, in mind. The you there is the second person plural, not singular. He has the congregation in mind. Go back to the very beginning of Colossians and look at the very beginning of this little book. Chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus who are at Colossae. To whom is Paul addressing these words? To the church at Colossae. Now, I suppose the mailman came to your place yesterday, and you possibly opened some envelopes. The members at the church at Colossae did not receive this letter in envelopes delivered separately to each of their homes. They did not sit in front of their computers getting this message from the Apostle Paul by email. You know that's the case. They heard these words from the Apostle Paul as they were gathered like you are gathered, and these words were read to them by the leader of their congregation. That's how they heard these words. And when you go to chapter 3, you see this kind of emphasis brought out again. Look at the beginning of chapter 3. We could have looked at a little more in chapter 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, you congregation, you see, that's what Paul is saying. Verse 2, set your mind, congregation. The your there is plural. And it's very interesting that Paul wants the congregation to be of one mind. It's the mind of the congregation collectively, you see, one mind. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body. Second person plural again. Verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, those who have been chosen of God. You see the emphasis here? Paul is speaking to the congregation, not to individuals separately, but to the congregation. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, congregation. This is what Paul is saying. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, congregation, second person plural again, talking to the people of God. And again, you see, they were getting this message in a corporate setting just like we are. And so when you look at verse 16, it's exactly the same. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And you could actually translate that among you. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you. But more specifically, in each of you as you are here together. And so it is the corporate setting. And because the elements of worship are mentioned here, and I'll get to this in a moment later, because the elements of worship are mentioned here, I do think that there is a connection with the public worship of God in verse 16. But now the issue for the Colossians and the issue for you is the rich indwelling of the Word of Christ. Notice the text again. The basic injunction in Colossians 3:16 is at the beginning of the verse. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. And the Word of Christ, friends, is the Word of God that is contained in the Scriptures. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Let me try and verify that for you, if I may. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. Peter makes reference to the prophets and to the Spirit of Christ working in the prophets. 1 Peter 1:10-11. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Who was in the Spirit? Who was in the prophets of old when they spoke about Christ? The Spirit of Christ. When Moses spoke at Sinai, he spoke by the Spirit of Christ. When Samuel later spoke and prophesied, he spoke by the Spirit of Christ. When Isaiah spoke later, he spoke by the Spirit of Christ. And so it was with Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi and all of these Old Testament prophets. And then when they set down in writing what they received from the Spirit of Christ in this word which we have, what do we then have in this word? We have the word of Christ. And back in Colossians then, Colossians 3:16, it is this word inscripturated that Paul is speaking about. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. Let it find a home within your heart. That's the idea of the word dwell here. And you know as well as I do that if you have a home that you love, like my wife and I have a home which we love, and we're becoming more and more homebodies, that's for sure, we find it objectionable when a bunch of other people come into our house and settle down there and make it their home. That's not a happy situation unless we invite them. I can see some of you smiling at that prospect, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, you see. And so the Word of God, the Word of Christ, should not have to push itself in like cattle trying to get up to a feeding trough. The Word of Christ should not have to push itself in to find a home in your hearts, members of the congregation. Rather, you should let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. And Paul is fond of this word rich or richly. He uses it in Colossians chapter 1 in that piece that I read for you just moments ago. Look, if you would, at Colossians 1:27. Speaking about the gospel, Paul says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The richness of the hope of God, which every believer has. The richness of the gospel and the truth of the gospel of Christ dwelling among you, His people, and dwelling by the power of His Spirit in your hearts. What a tremendous thing that is. And this is not only qualitatively or quantitatively, but it's qualitatively. A couple of summers ago, Irma and I had the privilege of going to Kobe, Japan, and we taught some classes at Kobe Theological Hall, which was a great treat. And while we were there, close to Kobe Theological Hall, we visited an indoor mall. It was a building that had been refabricated and remodeled so that there were shops on three different floors, little shops. And it was quite a fun place, and one of the shops was a chocolate shop. And when we went by, of course, the vendor was out there giving samples, and we gladly took one of the samples of chocolate. And when we put that chocolate into our mouths, we just went, oh, my, wow. And as we walked down the hall, we did a U-turn and went right back past that chocolate shop to get a second sample. It was good. It was rich. And that richness caught our attention. And we wanted to go back for another taste. And so it is when you taste of the good things of Jesus Christ and you understand the richness of the gospel, you want another taste. And so you are to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, you see. That's what Paul is after. And now the Apostle Paul gives two ways to the congregation, and he gives two ways to you to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Look at the text again, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and counseling one another. See, it's through teaching and counseling that the word of Christ may richly dwell within you. And God is pleased by the power of His Spirit to open the hearts of His people so that His word resonates in the heart. And the heart then of the people, people like you and me, respond to the things that are spoken in the gospel. That's God's way. And very interestingly, the Apostle Paul uses these same words, teaching and admonishing, in chapter 1 again. Look back at chapter 1 in verse 28. After Paul speaks about the wonderful truth of Christ dwelling in us, look at what he says in verse 28. He says, we proclaim Him. The King James Version says, whom we preach. Whom we preach. Whom we proclaim. And how is this preaching and proclamation to come about? Well, verse 28 tells us, we proclaim Him, how? Admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. See? Exactly the same terminology as we find in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Look back at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And what does this teaching and admonishing amount to? It's the preaching of the word of God. And that's one of the elements of worship. Colossians 3:16 does have to do with worship. To me, that's a clincher there. And I think we need to pay attention to that. And then there's a second way, you see, a second way that the word of Christ may dwell richly within you. Look at Colossians 3:16 again. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And the New American Standard Version reads, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. You see those ing words there? Those participles? Describing how you are to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Teaching and admonishing one another on one hand, and on the other hand, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So Paul He is giving to you and to me two clear ways in which you may let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. Listen to the preaching of the Word of God and sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. That's the second way. And, interestingly enough, the way the Apostle Paul puts it, these are two equal paths. That comes out clearly in the text. They are two paths that are equally important. Now, some of you, I know, and the reason I know that is because I get to stand up here and watch you. And I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I know some of you are not as interested in singing as some of the rest of you. And I understand that. I understand that because there was a time when I wasn't as interested in singing as much as I'm enjoying singing in the congregation now. And part of that, I think, stems from the fact that we don't understand that Paul is saying to you and to me that singing is just as vital a way to implant the Word of Christ in your heart as listening to the Word of God is a vital way of planting the Word of God in your heart. They are equally ultimate and equally important. And so Paul gives us this injunction. Now, the other interesting thing that comes about in this text is this. Paul defines our singing more closely than he defines the preaching. The New American Standard Version is not the best translation in the world here. Let me read to you what the New International Version says, and if you have the NIV, you can follow along. And I'll also read the English Standard Version. Listen. NIV. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. You see, the NIV puts those three words, psalms, hymns, and songs, with the singing rather than with the preaching. The King James puts it with the preaching. Listen to the English Standard Version. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You see, the singing, or the psalms, hymns, and songs more naturally goes with the singing. And I think that's the proper interpretation of the text. So on one hand, we are to admonish one another and teach one another with all wisdom. And on the other hand, we are to sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. But the singing, Paul says, involves psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I think that really is the proper interpretation of the text. And I think the NIV and the English Standard Version have it correctly. Now the question comes, what does Paul mean by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Let's go back to the Psalter, the book of Psalms, and look at a couple of things. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Verse 20. Psalm 72 and verse 20. Psalm 72, verse 20 says, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." In North Africa, when the Old Testament was translated into Greek for the benefit of the Jewish people in that location, Psalm 72 and verse 20 was translated this way: "The hymns of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." The hymns of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. In other words, the Jews themselves interpreted the Psalms of David as hymns. That's how they viewed them. And if you look a little bit earlier in the book of Psalms, to Psalm 65, you'll notice something else. The heading of the psalm: "For the choir director, a psalm of David, a song." What do the psalms themselves call themselves? Songs. That's what they are. And the Jews interpreted these songs as hymns. And so these psalms are indeed hymns and songs. And the Apostle Paul was of no slight intellect. He knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand. And when the Apostle Paul speaks in Colossians 3:16 of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, he does have in mind the psalms of the Old Testament. And that has been the traditional understanding of this text. Although some fight mightily against that traditional understanding of the text. And so now, if you would please, look back at Colossians 3:16 and 17. I'll read it from the NIV again. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly as you hear the word of God read and proclaimed on one hand, and as you sing what? Psalms, hymns, and songs inspired by the Spirit on the other hand, you let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And so Paul is defining our singing more narrowly than he is defining the preaching. And I would put it this way: that the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Colossae, and he's saying to the church at Rose Point, and to every other congregation, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, preaching, and make sure that your preaching and your teaching is eminently scriptural. And let the word of Christ richly dwell within you in your singing. This is the second way, the second means. And make sure, I would put it this strongly, make sure that your songs are the songs of the Scriptures. So you're to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, the Scriptures. And so let your songs be the Scriptures, and more specifically, let your songs be the songs of the Scriptures, the hymns of the Scriptures, the Psalms of the Scriptures. That's what Paul is telling us. And now we might ask the question, why does he circumscribe our singing more closely than he circumscribes the preaching of the Word of God? You would think it might be just the opposite. Well, it's not. From the text, it's not. But I think the reason is this. It's because of the power of music and the power of singing and because of the content of the Psalms. You know this as well as I do, that music carries with it tremendous emotional content. All you have to do is watch any movie. You know this is the case. The young man and the young lady are walking down the path, hand in hand, and what do you have in the background? What kind of music? Romantic music, right? The music fits the scene, the emotions of the scene. This would be a little bit different than King Kong hanging off of the Empire State Building, holding the damsel, you know. It's a little bit different. You have different music in the background then. The music fits the scene. And this is why some music is actually called mood music. Set the mood with the music. A tremendous emotional tie between the music and our mood and our emotions. And this ties directly to the Psalms. Listen to what Calvin says about the Psalms. He writes this in his preface to his commentary in the Psalms. He says, I have been accustomed to call this book, I think not inappropriately, an anatomy of all parts of the soul. For there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. And I think he's right. That in the Psalter, there is not an emotion, there is not a human emotion that is not represented properly. Whether it be praise or pain, whether it be exaltation or depression, they're all there. They're all there in living color. And friends, they're all there in living color, not only in that color, but by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And so in the book of Psalms, there is a spirit guide, a spiritual guide to all the proper exercise of our emotions. There it is. And I think that's why Paul comes down the way he does. Because the Psalter really does guide you and me in the proper exercise of our emotions before Him. And so, I say to you again, friends, sing before the Lord. Sing joyously before the Lord. Because God is using your singing just as he is using the preaching and the teaching in the church to cause the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. Sing before the Lord. Do you want to follow this injunction of the Apostle Paul? Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. This is the corporate setting. This is the setting of worship. This is the opportunity. And the way you do it is hear the word of God and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts before the Lord. Jesus Christ uses your singing to implant His word and His truth in you and to sanctify you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the lesson. Thank you for the privilege of preaching. Thank you for the privilege of singing. Thank you that the lesson here is that you enjoin us, our God, to let the word of Christ richly dwell within us. We pray, Father, that you would work your word into our hearts, not only through that preaching and teaching and admonition, but also, as the Apostle Paul puts it, in this singing. And we pray, Father, that we would be different people as a result of your causing, through these means, your word to dwell richly within us. Hear us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.